97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. As we get rocking and rolling here for a Friday afternoon, that means a Reardon Round Civil. We'd like to first and foremost greet Sue Thomas. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Happy Friday.
How about Simone Biles last night?
Unbelievable. I watched it again today just to see.
I kind of knew what happened because I saw the alerts come in, but still, it was definitely worth watching. Some great swimming last night as well. Jane Duker is here on the panel as always, although I don't think you were here last week because I was off as well. How are you, Jane?
I am doing great.
Talk about. Good to hear. You're going to hang in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We'll do some fun stuff there. We have David Barklage in the studio, GOP political strategist. How are you, David?
I'm awesome.
Great to see you. And then
thank you.
Mr. Jeff Rainford is here with Rainford & Associates, former chief of staff to Mayor Slate. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Glad. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to start with some local stuff. There's a lot to get to this afternoon. We have a very heavy news cycle. There's stuff going on, obviously, with former President Trump, with Kamala Harris, with Joe Biden. We had a Secret Service briefing today, so new information on the assassination attempt. But let's start local. And David, I'm going to start with you because really it's all about these Republican races on primary day, which is Tuesday. A lot of people have voted already, probably in some early voting. The governor's race, the attorney general's race, probably the most prominent things that we're keeping an interest in, but obviously Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor on down. Let's start with the governor's race. This has been in the works for a while. We got three main candidates, Bill Eigel, Mike Kehoe, who's the lieutenant governor, and the current Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft. What are you hearing right now? What's the prediction for Tuesday, Mr. Barklage?
So I think we now look at, instead of data points, at trends, and these are the key trends. One is Jay Ashcroft got a huge infusion of dark money, millions of dollars, which has really helped bolstered his campaign, and so he's moving up. Kehoe, in response, is focused on Ashcroft, and Ashcroft's focus on Kehoe. And what that is going to do, it's going to bring Eigel up. But the interesting dynamic is that Ashcroft voters, when they get peeled off, will probably go to Eigel. When Ashcroft suppresses some of Kehoe's voters, they probably end up coming back to him. So it's about dead even between the two. Eigel had dropped down into the teens. My guess is you'll see Eigel around 25%. You'll see Ashcroft, you know, in the low 30s, and you'll see Kehoe a couple of points above him. I'll call it for Kehoe for governor, because he also has a non-Republican coalition of farmers, labor, business, everything else. And I think in the end, that neighbor to neighbor matters. And I'll give you an example. Voter turnout is incredibly low. Very few people are voting, but there are a lot of swing voters that are considered 4-4s, meaning that they vote every time. Those swing voters in a low voter turnout are going to favor Kehoe and some of these other candidates that may not be on the alt-right.
Rainford, you see it any differently from your perspective on the D side? I'm not asking about the Democrat race. I don't even know if you guys have candidates in any of these races. We'll get to that later. I'm talking about the Republicans.
Well, the thing about if I were a Republican voter looking at these ads, I wouldn't know what to think.
I know.
Mean, pretty much every Republican has sold land to the Chinese, is letting illegal immigrants into the country.
They're all rhinos.
Well, it's not even that they're rhinos, that they coddle criminals. If I'm a Republican, forget Democrats, Democrat against Republican. If I'm just a Republican and I'm looking at Republican ads, I don't know what to think because they're all horrible and they're apparently horrible in the things that I care about. And if I were what I would call a normal Republican, like a Republican from St. Louis County or something, and I don't get like super mad about stuff and I'm watching these candidates.
That's a normal Republican?
Well, I mean, there got to be some Republicans who don't just get mad about everything, that just live normal lives, but they're conservative.
I think there's a lot
and
of
you're watching
people.
These candidates scream at the camera. I mean, no wonder they're not voting.
Well, you know,
I disagree, though. I think Kehoe is the only adult in the room, and he's the only one not acting like a weirdo. And I think I am cautiously optimistic that the normal person is going to be happier this time. That this idea of this crazy radical stuff, I think people on both sides are finally getting tired. And I think that we may have a decent night for people who actually want to govern and believe that screaming is not governing on the right and the left. And I mean, we're seeing with Cori Bush the same thing. I mean, so I think that people who are getting sick of that are going to have a good night.
But
that's,
you
what
know,
I think.
And I would hope that's kind of my hope too. But look, David, to your point, there's not a lot of people that are going to take the time to actually go out next week. What are they motivated for? And I want you to explain a little bit more how you think that vote splits between Ashcroft and Igel. It's shocking to me that Jay Ashcroft still is polling so high. And is that just solely on name recognition?
Name recognition, he started out 37 points ahead of Mike Kehoe. So that's come down. It was very wide, but very thin. Igel really looks like the kind of politician that's getting elected by the Republican Party today, less so John Jay Ashcroft. And remember, his dad got the Patriot Act and several things done that the modern Republican Party disdains.
Right, that's true.
So, but here's the problem. When you don't have the resources, and Igel put resources in early, surged, but also he had a glass jaw because he wasn't that well-defined. And when Kehoe hit him, he dropped from the mid-20s in second place to third place, and he's not recovered. I do think, because no one is talking about Igel, that Igel will come up. But I also think the Trump endorsement helped Kehoe the most, because it gave Kehoe credibility among MAGA voters.
Yeah.
But Kehoe has the money to tell everybody he got the endorsement. For example, one of the ads Kehoe's running is that Donald Trump, he attacks Ashcroft, and he says that's why Donald Trump has endorsed Jay Ashcroft's opponent, Mike Kehoe. And that does two things. One, it tells voters that he endorsed Kehoe over Igel or Ashcroft, at least in their minds, and Kehoe has the money to prosecute that case.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But, I, Jeff, when you were talking about the confusion earlier, I think the confusion perhaps you were referring to is maybe outside of the governor's race, because you see all these ads for lieutenant governor and for secretary of state, et cetera.
Also the tone of it all. And the things that they're, you know, the things that they care about, they're, you know, if I were a Republican voter, I would be used to saying that Kamala Harris, you know, she is nice to criminals and she lets illegals in and she sells farmland to China, and they're hearing about each other and they're angry at each other. And yes, I think that, you know, I have seen the ad, for instance, with Kehoe, where he says, and I got endorsed by the president, and he looks into the camera, and I haven't seen it for the other two. I still think that race is going to be close. I hope that Jane's right, that even Republican voters are starting to get tired of flamethrowers and AK-47s and guys standing by the highway and telling Mexicans they better go home, or as lieutenant governor, I'm going to round them all up. I mean, I'm hoping they're getting tired of it.
Let me make one point, and that is that, because I love to talk about all kinds of different policies, not just one. But the national media dominates. Every time you turn on the TV, it's about immigration. And to that extent, because it's good business for them, it divides people. There's all kinds of
ratings.
Incredible stories and ratings. When you're running for governor or Congress or anything, you can't run against that onslaught of national media. And so when you poll people, the only thing they're caring about is immigration, because that's the only thing they see on TV. It's being driven. So I don't know if it's Republicans driving it or the Republicans reacting to what the national media has put before
the commercial of the treasurer going down to the border and saying, as treasurer, I will stop illegals from coming across the border, is just ridiculous. Wassinger standing by the side of the road saying, as lieutenant governor, I'm going to send him home, and, you know, don't let the door hit you in the way. I mean,
I agree with you a whole 100%, but I understand what Barclay is saying there, because that's, look, you know this, you're a consultant too. When the ads work, when they focus group this, when they think it's going to work, that's why they do the ads.
The only caveat to that is, guys, is that the federal government is not addressing immigration. And to the extent that the state can restrict investments in China, to the extent that we can send people to the
border, legit.
To the extent that we can hold criminal aliens and not let ICE get them or do something, those are all state policies.
And David, hang on. David Barklage is here. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, all on the panel. Go ahead, Jane.
No, I think I also think that Ashcroft and Igel have been trading votes all along. And frankly, if both of them were not in the race, I think that it would be difficult for Kehoe. And but I also think that Igel had a very, very bad legislative session. And people who vote in primaries tend to be people who are more interested. And the more interested understand that certainly last year and the year before, he shut down government. And a lot of people did not get anything done. Why are all these groups?
You think people know that, though? I don't know.
I think primary voters know a lot more, because I think the normal person, I think, from what I've heard, Already, like, early voting is down from previous times in primaries.
Well, then I need to ask a question of David, because we haven't gotten to it yet. And that is, after the Republican convention, when Republicans were sky high and united, why is voter turnout among Republicans going to be so low?
It's a negative election, and it's wearing down on people because it is just so much attacks. And there is a battleground for the alt-right and the woke and the center. And at some point, one party or the other is going to move to the center, and it will open up the door for the other party to move. It could be this cycle. It could be 2 years.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
I mean, I'm just wanting to see the signs that we're moving toward that. And I do. I think the fact that Cori Bush is in big trouble, that to me says
hold your thought on that.
This.
We're going to talk about that here. I want to get to the AG's race in particular. Then we'll get to some national stuff and Cori Bush. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Hang in there. All right. We got a lot still to cover here in the next segment. We're going to get to some national politics as well. On the panel this afternoon, Jane, of course, is here. Jeff Rainford with Rainford & Associates. David Barklage, GOP political strategist. I do want to get to everything going on with Trump and Kamala, et cetera. But let's touch on a little bit more of what's going on in the statewide races. Barklage, I'll start with you again. I mean, the one I think that everyone's focused in on is attorney general. And you have two very qualified Republicans. Now, in the effort of full disclosure, you're working for Bailey, right? Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So how do you see this one from your insider perspective kind of breaking out? The polling that I've seen is very favorable to Andrew right now.
Yeah, we've seen it stabilize between 12 and 17%, depending on who's polling. And at this point, 3 days out, there's just no way you can make those dynamics work, because the more negative you get, it actually drives your negatives up. The more positive you get, you know, you just can't get enough positive to take that that swing. So I would say it's fairly safe to call it for Bailey at this point.
You know, one of the things that I've said, and Will and Andrew have been guests on the show many times, of course, I like Will. He's a smart guy, obviously was on part of the Trump legal team. But, you know, I look at optics sometimes, and I've seen the commercials. I think Bailey's commercials are very, very good. And I feel badly because I called Will creepy. But I think that in the ads, he looks a little creepy. He's an East Coast guy that bleeds through to people in Missouri. They don't feel like it's authentic. Andrew Bailey feels like Missouri. That's part of it. Don't you think, Rainford, people feel that?
Yes. I mean, in the Bailey commercials, I mean, both all the commercials on the Republican side, except for the straight positives, are ridiculous. And theirs are ridiculous, too. But when you're just sitting there, and I've seen a lot of them because I watch the local news. But when you sit there and watch
the
two of them, you watch a Bailey ad and then you watch the other guy's ad. You're like, the other guy does. He just looks weird. And Bailey looks like the kind of guy who should be the attorney general of a state or a governor or something like that. He looks the part, you know, the military thing, everything. I think his ads have been as far as the way that they have portrayed him as a politician and a person, I think they've been great. I mean, they're really good.
It is strange that, and I kept asking, I'm like, well, he's Trump's lawyer, but Trump endorsed both. First of all,
well,
he didn't endorse anybody.
You know, going
and
back
then
to,
he endorsed both. I'm like, well, that's bad, because
it
if you can't choose
Will.
Your lawyer, like, there's an issue there.
Well, what you said about Kehoe kind of be the benefactor, I think the same thing is absolutely true for Bailey,
both,
right?
Yeah. I mean, Jane just put it right, is that he endorsed his own lawyer's opponent. And to that regard, obviously, an opponent is going to pick up that messaging, and Andrew has.
Yeah. Well, what about on these other races? I get to sit here doing the show this week. I get texts from friends who are trying to early vote, figure this out. They have no idea. It's so hard to figure out. Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, et cetera.
You've got like eight candidates, all with about 10%.
Right. Yeah.
And
so that means anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Yeah. You've got in the Lieutenant Governor's race, I would say Lincoln Huff is the leader. David Wassinger and Holly Rader are behind 4 or 5 points.
Really?
My guess is Huff, because I think Wassinger has a tendency to rent votes only because of, and I don't mean that in a mean way, is that when you haven't been in office and you don't have a constituency and you don't have a network, you're sort of renting people's election. When you've been in office and you've built a network and relationships, you own those people. And to that regard, that's probably a difference in the race.
I have no feeling for Lincoln Huff, because I don't know him very well. I don't think people know him here in St. Louis.
Springfield is a good base to come from in a statewide race, so I give that one to Lincoln. I think Treasurer's race, the incumbent is Vivek, is running fairly strong. You got Cody Smith, the budget chairman, that's probably right behind, I mean, is behind him, Lori Rook and some others. You know, that one is going to be, you know, what happens next few days, we'll see.
Jane's been putting up yard signs for Valentina Gomez.
She's a Saturday Night Live skit, so if nothing else, she would be tremendous entertainment And until she does something awful.
Jane? Could we call her Hispanic Jane?
No, I can't even keep up with her. I mean, she went down to the border. She's got her guns. I mean, she's, you know, she uses homophobic slurs like she says if. I mean, it's funny. I mean,
this is the first time I think I mentioned her name because I don't really treat her as a real candidate. But when I saw the polling, I'm like, oh my God, she could actually win that race.
That's what I'm saying. Like something weird could happen.
Rainford, Cori Bush. Selfishly, I've said things like Jane has about Cori Bush in a somewhat joking fashion that I'm on Team Cori Bush because she's the gift that keeps on giving. But look, she doesn't do anything for the region. Jason Smith told me yesterday that there are luncheons or dinners with the delegation. She's never there. Even Emmanuel Cleaver is there. So is Wesley Bell going to take her out, Rainford?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think not only is he going to take her out, it wouldn't shock me if it wasn't particularly close. I don't know, 6, 7, 8 points. I think what you're seeing with Democrats is they are starting to at least inch towards moderation. The prosecutor in San Francisco was ousted. Prosecutor in St. Louis was ousted. Gabe Gore, who is a real prosecutor, is running without opposition. Jamal Bowman was ousted. And I think it looks like Cori Bush is going to lose. What's interesting locally, let me jump in locally on a couple of things. One is if Cori Bush loses and loses the city of St. Louis, I think that bodes very poorly for Mayor Jones and her race next year. And then out in St. Louis County, Brian Williams, the state senator, Democratic state senator, has been supporting candidates who are on Sam Page and Elbert Walton's side. And if Brian does a good job and or has a good election day, wouldn't shock me if he turned around then and took a hard look at county executive. So on the Democratic side, we don't have much going on a statewide basis, but there are still some things locally that there are some ramifications.
Yeah, we could completely, it could be, the county council could be remade. So, you know, you have the Kelly Dunaway got, you know, she quit. So you have that race, and that was the one where Page allegedly bribed them to get out. So you got Gretchen Bangert, who is not going to be aligned with Page, and then you got Shalonda Webb, and is Rochelle Walton Gray's running against her again. I don't foresee that as a threat at all. And then you have Mike Archer and Ernie Trakas, and I think Archer's given Trakas a run for the money.
Well, I see a lot of Archer signs out there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and so I think that it could be Sam could have one vote, and that's going to make for a very difficult time for him.
I think the Greek wins.
Do you?
I do.
That's interesting. That's what we disagree on.
The Greek reflects South County's attitudes and South County's
really does.
Sort of values.
I guess.
What about the other district here, District 3? Blaine Lukemire not running again. You got Kurt Schaefer, who is seen as more of the moderate. He is a Columbia attorney, ran for attorney general several years ago, former state senator. And Bob Onder, who he clearly got the Trump endorsement. He's been, you know, riding that all the way to Election Day, which why wouldn't you in a Republican district like that? Dave, what do you think happens in that race?
Very few people that have gotten the Trump endorsement have lost, contrary to what a lot of people say. It is a very daunting thing. 43% of the voters in that primary would if they knew that you had the endorsement, would vote for you. And in a multi-candidate primary, that's pretty daunting. I think Kurt has made, they've got some smart ads. They've got a smart approach. Onder isn't that strong. Onder has got the issues with COVID vaccination, being paid $1.8 million by pharmacy to work on COVID vaccinations and then declared them great. And then they were taken off the market because they killed people. That hurts his alt-right. And my point just is, I think the candidate's weak there, Onder. I think Kurt's strong, but that endorsement may be just enough to keep Onder.
Kind of hard. That's a weird district. Kind of hard to really get a handle on what's going to happen in Boone County, the central part of the state with that. I mean, that's where Schaefer's from, but he's being labeled a rhino by Onder, and Onder's got the Trump endorsement.
Yeah, everybody's labeled a rhino in this election.
Right.
Well, and the thing, there's two things about that election. One is, in a snarky way, I actually hope Onder wins and goes to Washington and doesn't run for county executive of St. Charles, because he can go up and wreck the federal government instead of wrecking things here locally in St. Louis.
I think we'll be fine. I think the Republic will survive if he wins the race, but go ahead.
It will. I mean, and the other thing about it is, I just find it fascinating that the trial lawyers who used to be so liberal, hard left, Democratic are now hard right, populist Republican, including going big in the Onder race. And, you know, I guess what it means is that they don't have a soul. It's certainly legal and certainly something they can do. But it's fascinating to watch how the Republicans had beat up on and fought hard against the trial lawyers. And now at least the populist wing is certainly taking all their money.
Yeah, they're investing heavily in a Senate race and the race to replace Bill Eigel. Phil Christofanelli, his opponent, is clearly a bigot and a He's been trying to use all kinds of bigotry and other kinds of things in that race, and he's fully supported by the trial bar. Shame on him.
That is. And about the Ander Schaefer race, the one dynamic I think that people might be underestimating is people believe that seat is Central Missouri. They, you know, those people are very protective of their congressional seat. And while it tails down, I think those people are going to be very aware. I think they view Ander as a carpetbagger.
Well, look,
Blaine pick sides?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
very much
no,
so.
He,
Kurt Schaefer.
He picked Kurt for sure. And yeah. Well, and that it is a district. Look, it's a district that was held originally. It was the 9th district years ago. Harold Volkmer, who was a unique pro-gun, pro-life Democrat. And then Kenny Hulsoff had the seat. Did someone have it before Blaine then, after Kenny? But it is, now it's weirdly
Blaine
cut,
had it in
though.
2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's been there for a while.
He has,
and
he's
popular.
Endorsed. And in fact, he's hitting Ander today on being a carpetbagger because Ander's address that he gave is actually an office building in the district. He had just moved out of the district to run against Ann Wagner, and he got kicked out of his first office because he lied about his residency.
So there you go.
All right, let's get to some national stuff here. Jane Duker, Jeff Rainford, David Barklage, all on the panel. Here's our vice president last night, sounding a little bit like the president, but she's not, you know, 81 years old. Tell me what she says here.
This is just an extraordinary testament to the importance of having a president who understands the power of diplomacy and understands the strength that rests in understanding the significance of diplomacy and strengthening alliances. This is an incredible day.
I mean, she's an SNL bit, but the problem is will people actually see moments like that? Look, I'm going to be the first one, Jane, I'll start with you, to admit that she's getting a wet, sloppy kiss from the media right now. They're trending in the right direction. Trump had a couple of stumbles this week. The convention is just around the corner. I heard Karl Rove this morning predict, and I agree with him, be curious about the rest of the panel, that by the end of the DNC convention, some of the national polling probably will have her in the lead. There was one that came out today that I think is an outlier. Now, Trump is holding leads in these states that really matter, but Kamala's off and running here, Jane.
Well, I think the GOP that declared victory after the assassination attempt were way, way too soon. And I think that...
Well, we thought there was another candidate. You keep that in mind.
Well, right. But right. They called on him to go away. He went away, and that did not make their condition any better. So, I mean, I think that it's going to be tight no matter what. I think she's raising a ton of money. I hope they get her more polished. She's a trained lawyer. They need to get her speech a little bit more concise and a little bit more to the point.
I don't know if she's capable of that. I think she can read off the prompter, and she's energetic and she looks good. But if she there's a reason that she's not sitting down and asking or answering questions.
I mean, you know, but I also think that, you know, Democrats don't care. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And so, you know, I think it's going to and look, it could give people credibility to, depending on her vice president choice, which I think will be interesting. And I think
Kelly, Arizona.
Kelly, I'm Arizona. Hearing
that's
Shapiro.
Yeah, but, you know,
Shapiro's out because
I don't think it's going to be Shapiro. He's Jewish, and that's going to hurt. You
no, but they,
with
they've,
the
they've
base.
Come up with him involved in an issue that's going to disqualify
him. Oh, really?
It's going to be Kelly. Mark Kelly is starting canceling all his events.
But either way, it's a white male from a swing state. It's
absolutely
not some radical left-wing nutcase.
Exactly. An astronaut is not
bad.
Both
candidates in this case are DEI. It's like she's risen up to that, and so they're putting him there,
but
too.
But, Barklage, right. On the Trump side of the equation, I get what he was doing the other day, and he can't help himself sometimes. And the whole thing with bringing up Kamala's race and how she's a chameleon, I understand that. But from a national perspective, I don't see what the win is. There are three issues right now. The polling is overwhelmingly on Republican side on the inflation issue and the economy. We got bad jobs numbers today. The border, it's not even close. And on public safety. So why wouldn't you just hammer those issues from now on until November?
Because, Mark, the system is different. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think Kamala wins. Because you look at the midterms.
Sadly,
midterms,
I think
we
she
had
does
all
too.
Those things. We had all those things going in the midterm and we lost seats.
That's what I said.
The Democrats have a better game. They understand voting models better. They're wired in better to the cities. They are able to produce votes better. And I don't think it's illegal. You can call it cheating if you want, but they've just refined their tactics. Republicans haven't invested in infrastructure. And anytime you start out where Kamala is told to you by the national media, when she was declared openly the border czar, that she never was the border czar. If they could pull that off, they can pull anything off.
And they did pull it off. They did pull it off,
and
right.
So therefore, I
the media's in her corner. And unfortunately, I have to agree with David Rutledge.
Well, the other thing about her is she did not have the A-team when she ran for president last time. She ran a terrible campaign. But she also, and I guess we should ask David because this is what he does, she was also surrounded by B and C team consultants and staff.
Now she's got plow.
And she now has, she's got the A-team now. These people are not morons. They know what they're doing. This whole thing with President Biden was well orchestrated. I didn't think they could get him out. They got him out, maybe in the nick of time, but they got him out, and they know what they're doing. I think it'll go back to 16 and 20, where it will be a nail-biter, but David's right. In a very close election, which is going to be decided by middle-of-the-road voters in 7, 8, or 9 states, I think that the competence is going to be on the Democrats. Side this time.
Except you know, afterwards, I think you're going to see a real problem for her in turnover. Oh, yeah. I don't think she's going to be able to keep.
She's not a great boss.
And the race, calling her, like questioning her race and calling her
makes
a
no
whore.
Sense. It doesn't make
really
any sense.
So
the
dumb.
Slut shaming is dumb
it's
too.
Really
None of that
dumb.
Is a win. Everybody
They're turning
that,
off women.
Everybody that is affected by this already voting for Trump anyway. So it makes no sense to me, and it's frustrating. And the campaign has to know that. I don't understand why they can't pivot. And look, I'll say this. I don't know who's behind it, Barclay. You probably know, but I've seen a couple of national ads for Kamala Harris that are really slick and polished.
Uh-huh. She's got really strong people around here. Now, I will say, jumping ahead to what David said, whether she has a successful presidency is going to be a different issue. It's going to be a very tough, dangerous world, including, you know, the deficit, the international stuff. And whether it's Trump or whether it's Harris. And, you know, I see the next president as being a one term. Well, obviously with Trump it is. But even if it's she, I think it's going to be difficult. And that's, you know, remember I said before, I kind of hope we lose so that, you know, they get it, blow it, and we get it back.
Hang on. We got one more segment to go here. It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Oh, great roundtable pre-primary day. David Barclay on the panel, GOP consultant Jeff Rainford on the other side. Our friend Jane Duker is here as well. Before I get on to some of the Secret Service stuff, there was somebody on Twitter I just responded to this quickly because some of the focus has been on, you know, the fact that the nominee for the Democrats will not have received one vote essentially in the primary process. So the question from the person on Twitter was, please ask your guests if a candidate who didn't receive one vote, is that democracy or are they just past that now? My response was, I'm past that now because who cares? It's happened. The Republicans would have done the exact same damn thing. So that whole democracy argument ain't going to work. Okay. It's not going to work with people who are going to decide this election. So focus in on what's going to decide the election because you're going to lose it if you keep focusing on that stuff. And anyone
Nobody cares. Somebody else said
on Kamala Harris, well, she slept her way to the top even with Mary Men.
Oh.
Hey, guess what? That was adjudicated back with Bill Clinton. So who cares at this point?
And Trump. I mean,
I know.
Seriously,
well, that's,
like,
look,
guys,
Jane, you know me. I'm pretty fair on these issues.
It's
right?
Like, this is, I mean,
it's simple. The parties are part of democracy, at least American democracy, but they are not Democratic.
So back
our,
to what,
right, our party, our rules. Yeah. But get over
it. It's not an issue. I mean, so look at what we've had. We've had the ex-president is a convicted felon. We had our president who in the debate made, you know, the Walking Dead look like Cheetah Rivera. And we had President Trump shot in the ear, and none of those things have moved it off a 50-50 race. Why is this thing going to matter?
It's not.
This is a David thing, but if I were the Republicans, I would go back to Carville. It's the economy, stupid.
Exactly.
That was my point earlier.
Inflation.
That's right. But they don't. They go to all kinds of nonsense.
And that's why I think my camera is going to win the Democratic primary for governor.
Oh, primary. Okay.
Because he came out with jobs, creating wealth. I mean, all the things that it is. It's the economy, stupid. And Democrats would behoove themselves, and so would Republicans
Let me speak for David and me. Who? That's what we would say. Nobody
knows.
No,
I know. But, I mean, this guy's never been an elected
office.
By
the way, he's a good guy.
He's a really good guy.
But he's a good guy.
All right. Secret Service, the new head of the Secret Service went before the cameras, actually answered some questions today on what happened in Pennsylvania. We still don't have a lot of answers. But yesterday there was a video that came out, actually, I think 2 days ago, from one of the people that was shot by this would-be assassin. And you could see the guy in his head kind of running up on this roof. So he was asked about that, Ronald Rowe, today.
It affirms to me, and again, and you heard this from the FBI, and they're still conducting interviews and looking at this. It even just affirms to me that this was a failure. We should have had better protection for the protectee. We should have had better coverage on that roof line. We should have had at least some other set of eyes from the Secret Service point of view covering that. That building was very close to that outer perimeter, and we should have had more of a presence.
Okay, let me just say this. Duh, we all know that. There's no secret about that. The question now becomes, why didn't you? And I still don't think we're getting those answers, Jane.
I mean, I you know, everybody's going to say conspiracy theories, and that's fine. I mean, never you know.
But you know what I think?
It's incompetence.
I think it's incompetence too. But here's the thing: I completely understand why people are going to conspiracy theories, because there are some big gaps here in the timeline, and it's baffling to me how you can see this kid pop up there on the roof and
they don't know he was there. And yeah. I don't. I mean, and are you telling me? And this I asked this the day of. Are you telling me that there is a policy that you cannot engage with a sniper, you know, a hostile sniper, until they make a move?
They say they didn't see the gun. That's what we heard today, that they didn't know he had a gun.
I've worked presidential advance, and years ago, their system, you weren't going to get through. There was full cooperation, full integration with local
law
enforcement.
That's another big problem.
Everything was tied down.
Seamless.
This, in watching what I saw, and what I saw there, it was a complete agent failure, and it's mm-hmm. got to be addressed for the safety of the republic. I mean, if a kid can get that close to a guy and shoot him,
it's unbelievable to me. When you had people saying hello, he's here. I mean, you had citizens that were more in tune with what was going
17
on.
17 minutes before, they knew there was a suspicious person.
Obviously, it was a total failure. What I've seen happen in sort of these situations where you have people who are on the wall, and for years and years and years, nothing happens. It's really hard to stay focused every day when nothing has happened in so long, and then something happens. And I guarantee you, for the next 5 years, they'll be hyper-focused, probably like after the Kennedy and the two Kennedys and Martin Luther King. But it was a total failure, and I'm not excusing anything.
No, Jeff, but I understand exactly what you're saying, because it would be almost human nature to be a little bit complacent. You know that
it's
there
hard
could
not
be tests.
To be.
Right, exactly. But I'm not letting them off the hook.
That's not an excuse,
no, I get
whoever
it.
Whoever is responsible. Threat immediately, in my experience, is they would have taken the guy, they would have held him. There's no way they would let the presidential candidate out in the stage. And then
he
surround him with people that are 5 foot tall and fat.
Everything,
when he's a tall man, you don't do that.
But when you are not prepared, everything, you know, you're not doing tabletop exercises like this is, you know, a crisis tomorrow, and you kind of let your guard down. You know, you do sloppy things like happen there A to Z. It was very sloppy. They do
terrible.
Have to identify the human beings who failed. There should not be no scapegoating. Innocent people shouldn't be charged, but they do need to find the people who did it.
Well, they haven't really done that. And, you know, he was asked repeatedly if anyone's going to be suspended, fired, and
they
didn't have any answers because the investigation is not complete.
But they can't just fire anybody. Like, you know,
well,
Senator Hawley said, why haven't you fired anybody by now? You can't, like, fire innocent agents.
But
whoever is responsible for this, sorry for they and their family, but they should be fired.
Well, and we'll see if they are. One more topic here. The St. Louis Cardinals are playing up in Chicago. They lost a tough one last night because they had the lead going into the ninth, and they lost the game because Ryan Helsley gave up 3 runs. They're trailing Chicago. They were down 5-0. It's 5-3 right now. But holy moly, let's go back to the positive of the week. Tommy Pham comes back, his first plate appearance, a grand slam. I said it, I think we all saw it on his face if you were watching. He's like, it's 2-2. I am not going to strike out in my first appearance with the bases loaded. He hammers one. He has another good night. Now, that was a bad loss, and you can't go down, you know, 0-2 against the Cubs in a 4-game series. But the Cardinals did make some moves that are being rated, Jane, as pretty high trade deadline.
I agree, and they needed to do things. I mean, because people are just not going to put up with inaction when they know. We need something to rally around, and so that Pham, that was perfect. I mean, that's something that's right out of Cardinals baseball.
Yeah, the problem is Fetty, the guy that we got from the White Sox, pitched today and gave up 5 runs right out of the bat.
Yeah, that's a difficulty. You know, look, I think we will tolerate maybe not, you know, getting to the playoffs, but, you know, no more of this dumpster diving.
You guys are so tough. Being from Cape Girardeau, I just love the Cardinals. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, and I will. First of all, it was a great trade, and Mozeliak deserves a ton of credit for it. He also deserves credit for rebuilding the bullpen. But unless Goldschmidt and Arenado hit like Goldschmidt and Arenado, they're going to be
a mediocre
team for the rest
of
the year.
Well, and then you got new pitching. Well, Sonny Gray did well last night after some bad outings, and then he, you know, can't get the victory. But Lance Lynn's on injured list right now, so there's some challenges. But at least we got a little bit more hope. Jane's going to hang out. David Barklage, enjoy primary day. It's part of your life. Rainford, good to see you.
Great to see you too,
man. All right, man. We're coming back with more here in the next hour. We got Paul Hahn Entertainment, Cusimano, and a whole lot more.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, great roundtable pre-primary day. David Barklage on the panel, GOP consultant Jeff Rainford on the other side. Our friend Jane Duker is here as well. Before I get on to some of the Secret Service stuff, there was somebody on Twitter, and I just responded to this quickly, because some of the focus has been on, you know, the fact that the nominee for the Democrats will not have received one vote, essentially, in the primary process. So the question from the person on Twitter was, please ask your guests, if a candidate who didn't receive one vote, is that democracy, or are they just past that now? My response was, I'm past that now, because who cares? It's happened. The Republicans would have done the exact same damn thing. So that whole democracy argument ain't going to work, okay? It's not going to work with people who are going to decide this election. So focus in on what's going to decide the election, because you're going to lose it if you keep focusing on that stuff. And anyone
Nobody
that,
cares.
Anyone that, exactly.
Nobody
somebody,
cares
Somebody
about
else
that.
Said on Kamala Harris, well, she slept her way to the top even with Mary Men.
Oh.
Hey, guess what? That was adjudicated back with Bill Clinton. So who cares at this
and
point?
Here's, and Trump. I mean,
I know.
Seriously.
Well, that's,
like,
look,
guys,
Jane, you know me. I'm pretty fair on these issues,
it's
right?
It's like, this is not, I mean.
It's simple. The parties are part of democracy, at least American democracy,
right.
But they are not Democratic.
So back
our,
to what,
right, our party, our rules. Yeah. Get over
well,
it.
Well, it's not an issue. I mean, so look at what we've had. We've had the ex-president is a convicted felon. We had our president who in the debate made, you know, the Walking Dead look like Cheetah Rivera. And we had President Trump shot in the ear, and none of those things have moved it off a 50-50 race. Why is this thing going to matter?
It's not.
If no,
this is a David thing, but if I were the Republicans, I would go back to Carville. It's the economy, stupid.
Exactly.
That was my point earlier. Inflation. That's
right.
What. But they don't. They go to all kinds of nonsense.
And that's why I think my camera is going to win the Democratic primary for governor.
Oh, primary. Okay.
Because he came out with jobs, creating
right.
wealth. I mean,
right.
all the things that it is. It's the economy, stupid. And Democrats would behoove themselves, here. And so would Republicans
let me speak
to do
for,
to talk
let
about
Let me speak
it.
For David and me. Who? That's what we would say. Nobody
no,
knows
I know,
who that
but I mean, this
is.
Guy's never been an elected
By
office.
By the way, he's a good guy.
He's
not
a really
be governor,
good guy.
But he's a good guy.
All right, Secret Service, the new head of the Secret Service went before the cameras, actually answered some questions today on what happened in Pennsylvania. We still don't have a lot of answers, but yesterday there was a video that came out, actually, I think 2 days ago, from one of the people that was shot by this would-be assassin. And you could see the guy in his head kind of running up on this roof. So he was asked about that, Ronald Rowe, today.
It affirms to me, and again, and you heard this from the FBI, and they're still conducting interviews and looking at this. It even just affirms to me that this was a failure. We should have had better protection for the protectee. We should have had better coverage on that roof line. We should have had at least some other set of eyes from the Secret Service point of view covering that. That building was very close to that outer perimeter, and we should have had more of a presence.
Okay, let me just say this. Duh. We all know that. There's no secret about that. The question now becomes, why didn't you? And I still don't think we're getting those answers, Jane.
I mean, I you know, everybody's going to say conspiracy theories, and that's fine. I mean, never, you know.
But you know what I
think
say?
It's incompetence.
I think it's incompetence, too. But here's the thing. I completely understand why people are going to conspiracy theories, because there are some big gaps here in the timeline. And it's baffling to me how you can see this kid pop up there on the roof and
they
don't
knew
have...
he was there. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and are you telling me, and this I asked this the day of, are you telling me that there is a policy that you cannot engage with a sniper? You know, a hostile sniper until they make a move.
They say they didn't see the gun. That's what we heard today. See, that they didn't know he had a gun.
I've worked presidential advance, and years ago, their system, you weren't going to get through. There was full cooperation, full integration with local
That's
law enforcement.
That's another big problem.
Everything
yeah.
was tied down.
Seamless.
This, in watching what I saw and what I saw there, it was a complete agent failure, and it's mm-hmm. got to be addressed for the safety of the republic. I mean, if a kid can get that close to a guy and shoot him,
it's unbelievable to me. I
well,
mean, that is such.
At
and
risk.
When you had people saying, "Hello, he's here," I mean, you had citizens that were more in tune with what was going on.
17 minutes before, they knew there was a suspicious person.
Obviously, it was a total failure. What I've seen happen in sort of these situations where you have people who are on the wall, and for years and years and years, nothing happens. It's really hard to stay focused every day when nothing has happened in so long, and then something happens. And I guarantee you, for the next 5 years, they'll be hyper-focused, probably like after the Kennedy and the two Kennedys and Martin Luther King. But it was a total failure, but, and I'm not excusing
anything.
No,
Jeff, but I understand exactly what you're saying, because it would be almost human nature to be a little bit complacent. You know that
it's
there
hard
could
not to be.
Right, exactly. But I'm not letting them off the hook.
That's not an excuse.
No, I get it.
Whoever is responsible. Threat immediately, in my experience is they would have taken the guy, they would have held him. They would. There's no way they would let the presidential candidate out in the stage. And then
yeah, he should
surround him with people that are 5 foot tall and fat.
But everything,
when he's a tall man, you don't do that.
But when you are not prepared, everything, you know, you're not doing tabletop exercises like this is, you know, a crisis tomorrow, and you kind of let your guard down. You know, you do sloppy things like happen there A to Z. It was very sloppy. They do
terrible.
Have to identify the human beings who failed. There should not be no scapegoating. Innocent people shouldn't be charged, but they do need to find the
died.
People who did it.
Well,
they
haven't really done that. And, you know, he was asked repeatedly if anyone's going to be suspended, fired, and he didn't have any answers because the investigation is not complete.
But they can't just fire anybody like, you know,
well,
Senator Hawley said, why haven't you fired anybody by now? You can't like fire innocent agents. But whoever is responsible for this, sorry for they and their family, but they should be fired.
Well, and we'll see if they are. One more topic here. The St. Louis Cardinals are playing up in Chicago. They lost a tough one last night because they had the lead going into the ninth, and they lost the game because Ryan Helsley gave up three runs. They're trailing Chicago. They were down 5-0. It's 5-3 right now. But holy moly, let's go back to the positive of the week. Tommy Pham comes back. His first plate appearance, a grand slam. I said it. I think we all saw it on his face if you were watching. He's like, it's 2-2. I am not going to strike out in my first appearance with the bases loaded. He hammers one. He has another good night. Now, that was a bad loss, and you can't go down, you know, 0-2 against the Cubs in a four-game series. But the Cardinals did make some moves that are being rated, Jane, as pretty high trade deadline.
I agree, and they needed to do things. I mean, because people are just not going to put up with inaction when they know. We need something to rally around, and so that Pham, that was perfect. I mean, that's something that's right out of Cardinals baseball.
Yeah, the problem is Fetty, you know, the guy that we got from the White Sox, pitched today and gave up five runs
right
out of the bat.
Yeah, that's a difficulty. You know, look, I think we will tolerate maybe not, you know, getting to the playoffs, but, you know, no more of this dumpster diving.
You guys are so tough. Being from Cape Girardeau, I just love the Cardinals. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, and I will. First of all, it was a great trade, and Mozeliak deserves a ton of credit for it. He also deserves credit for rebuilding the bullpen. But unless Goldschmidt and Arenado hit like Goldschmidt and Arenado, they're going to be mediocre team for the rest
of
the year.
Well, then you got new pitching. Well, Sonny Gray did well last night after some bad outings, and then he you know, can't get the victory. But Lance Lynn's on injured list right now, so there's some challenges. But at least we got a little bit more hope. Jane's going to hang out. David Barklage, enjoy primary day. It's part of your life. Rainford, good to see you.
Great to see you too, man.
All right, man. We're coming back with more here in the next hour. We got Paul Hahn Entertainment, Kusumano, and a whole lot more.
Get more at 971talk.com.